It's very easy. If you watch the news and you see what's going on in the world, it's very easy to get discouraged. You know, this generation, it's just going down the tubes. But, you know, I was so encouraged. Yesterday we had a wedding here from a young couple. Used to be part of our Spanish ministry years ago. They used to dance in here as little girls. And one of them now is old enough to get married. And we were privileged that she came to us and asked us to marry them. And it was such an honor. And we spent weeks with them in counseling and got to know them and love them and go over everything we were going to do. And then Thursday night we had rehearsal here. And we have, you know, my wife and I, Pastor Diane and I, we do the weddings together, and we have it all planned out and scripted out how we do it. And then all of a sudden, Thursday night, just 2 days before the wedding, while we're here, she says, oh, by the way, everything is going to be translated because 90% of the people here don't understand English. Oh, well, now that throws a little monkey wrench in the works. Okay, and oh, by the way, we want to do something a little different. We're going to have, actually, we put two pillows down here and ask the families to come up and pray over them somewhere in the middle of the ceremony. Okay. Well, we can work that in somehow. Oh, and by the way, before we actually get into the vows and stuff, we'd like to have about 20 minutes of worship. Oh, okay. How will that go? What do we do during that time? Do we just keep standing here? Do we go sit down? You know. So we left Thursday night. We said, wow, this is going to be something different. So, all right, Lord, you just say, well, it turned out to be the sweetest, most beautiful, right, wedding ceremony. I could hardly do it. I was in tears as we began. But here's the encouraging part. Not only was this couple the sweetest, kind of most innocent young couple, but there were a half a dozen young guys here from that ministry. They did worship. One translated. One more humble, sweeter, nicer than the next. And as we went afterwards to the bride's home and just under a tent outside, it encouraged me, you know, because all you see is bad news and everything that's all this generation is really forget about. No, there's a lot of good people out there. You know, and I've even said to my wife sometimes, you know, when you watch something on the news how the world is going crazy, I said, no, it's not. Go down the block. Walk all through our neighborhood. You don't see crazy people. You don't see people doing the things you're seeing on the news. Nobody's doing it. And I don't know, maybe because I'm getting older, I notice young people holding a door for me as I'm going into a store or on the way out. They're in front of me and they say, and they keep the door open for you. Black, white, yellow, green, Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, Catholic, doesn't matter. There's still a lot of good people out there. A lot of good people, and a lot of good young people, too. So don't give up. Don't give up on this world. God hasn't. Why should we? Amen?
Amen.
So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Amen. Hallelujah. Before we go on, I'm going to ask the ushers to get ready. Today is the first Sunday of the month. It's missions. That's the only time we take two offerings. I don't like taking two offerings, actually. I hate taking offerings. I really do. I hate when money's involved. But anyway, we have a dozen or so missionaries at home and abroad that we support on a regular basis. And when I say we support, you support. You're the one supporting them, really. We make a commitment to them on behalf of the leadership of the church, but you're the ones who really support them. So once a month, we take a special. I mean, you can give any time. On your envelopes, there's a line for missions. You can give any time you want. But on the first Sunday of the month, we like to take a special offering specifically. Boy, these people need finances more than ever before, especially post-COVID. I've shared this before, but we get letter after letter after letter of church after church after church dropping their support for them because either they can't afford it anymore or they maybe even closed because of COVID and never recovered. So it's more important than ever. Don't take from your tithes and your offerings. Those belong to God. But when you can, give specifically to help these people are going where you and I can't to reach the lost throughout the world and even here at home. Amen? So once again, Father, as we receive this offering specifically for your laborers out there in the field, I pray you anoint it, you multiply it, your blessing would be upon it, and that it would provide for those who are working for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Albert. Thank you. Hallelujah. In just a few minutes, just checking with the boss. Only kidding. Now, I just know there were some things we want to do, and I don't know exactly sure when we want to do them. But, you know, the Word of God says, if there's any sick among you, bring them to the elders. And the prayer of faith will heal them. I want you to notice something it says. It doesn't say their prayer of faith. It doesn't say their prayer, the elders' prayer of faith. It says the prayer of faith. It's not because the elders prayed that the healing is going to come. It's because the prayer was prayed in faith that it's going to come. God doesn't share his glory with anybody, okay? We have a few amongst us this morning that I know specifically need prayer, and we want to ask them to come up and pray for them. And it's going to be the prayer prayed in faith that I believe is going to bring your healing or whatever it is that you need, not because we prayed for you. Amen? Amen. So I know, Judy, I know you're going for eye surgery. So I'm going to ask you to come on up. Amen? And I know, Danielle, we want to pray for you this morning. Both of you come up. Abner, I want you to join us. Pastor Di. Rich, would you join us? Hallelujah. Excuse me? Is there any others here that specifically need prayer this morning? He needs prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Maddie? Joe? Amen. Albert, I know you need prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have someone else. Amen. Glenn. Hallelujah. I want you all to believe by faith that God is listening. God is hearing. God knows your particular need. He knows the procedure maybe you're going to be going for or need to go for. He knows the perfect doctor and the skill that has to be applied to your situation. You understand what I'm saying? Every healing doesn't have to be miraculously, I was blind and now I see. It could be God working in and through other individuals, whether it be doctors or even medications, whatever it is. Your part is just to believe that God has heard, God has it under control, and God will do what he says he will do. He says, come and be prayed for, and the prayer in faith will bring you a healing. Amen? Now, I don't know if we should pray individually. We would like you to pray. Well, Abner. I know that, Judy, come here. I know that you have an eye situation that you're going to go for surgery for, right? Was it laser surgery?
No, it's
the macula.
No,
hole.
No, I'm sorry, the retina is starting to fall.
Okay.
Which can lead me to go blind.
Amen. All right, so they're going to perform surgery. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to pray for her.
Okay. If you're just in the congregation, just stretch your hands towards those up here. Father, we just come into agreement. According to Matthew 18:19, where two or more agree, it shall be done. And so we come into agreement with the word of God, with the will of God, and we just declare, as we pray here, the prayer of faith, that all sickness and disease will go, any spirits of infirmity that accompany it. And I just also join with what the pastor said, God, as they go to doctors, as they go to specialists, whatever it may be, Lord, that you would guide that, and that by the end of the process, however it works, God, we declare every one of these people sickness and disease free, and we call their bodies into alignment. We call your eyes into alignment. Let them function exactly as God created them to function in the name of Jesus Christ. And for every one of these people, God, we lift off fear. We lift off worry. We lift off, what am I going to do? And we just release, even now, the peace and the rest of God over every one of these people in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Danielle, I know you need prayer. Diane, would you come? Would you pray?
Father, we just come before you, God. And Father, we're just putting our faith in you, Lord. And we ask, Jesus, everywhere you went, you healed. My God, my God. And we're asking at this moment that you would look down at Danielle and you would look down into her, oh God, and that you would stretch your arm toward her, God, and that you would deliver her out of this infirmity. In Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. And I just want to also pray for Maria, because Rhea has been through so much, and there's such a heaviness on her. She's not able to shake this off. There's been disappointment, great disappointment, and brokenness. So, Father, again, oh God, we agree. We stand in agreement. We come against the enemy who is coming against your daughter. In Jesus' mighty name, we come against this heaviness, this darkness, this sadness, this brokenness. Oh my God, right now we destroy the power of the enemy, God, and we release her, Father, into new life in Jesus. New life, oh God. We pray, Father, that you would baptize her with joy in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Albert, come here. I know Albert has been going through a lot. He recently was diagnosed with diabetes, sugar very, very high. And it went into, even though he's being treated and medicated, he began with double vision, really struggling with double vision. It's causing him to be hindered, causing him to fall and be hurt. But I want you to know, Albert, that God has everything under control. And I pray right now that, Father, you reach down your mighty hand by the power of your Spirit. May it rest upon Albert and touch him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Father, that you bring this sugar into its normal range, Father. Whether you do it miraculously or through medication, I don't care. It doesn't matter. As long as we know you did it. Father, I pray that, Lord, you raise him up, that this double vision go away, that his stability in walking and moving will be restored, that he'll be able to go back to work, that he'll do everything that he needs to do and should be doing, Father. Our faith is in you, Lord. Our faith is in you, Lord. You are in control of all things. So as of now, we consider it done, and we look for the results and the testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 What does this young man need prayer for? Just a lot. All right. Amen. David. David. Hallelujah. David. Father, this young man, this young heart, has a heart after God. But, Father, the enemy would love nothing to do but to sidetrack him and persuade him that maybe it's not true, I shouldn't be doing. Father, I pray you clear up the confusion. You clear up the confusion in his life. Bring him to a place, as young as he is, that he would see a vision of you in your holiness and who you are and how you've called him into your kingdom and you have your hand on him, that you will keep him from anything that is in his life that is hindering him, holding him back. Father, we pray that, Lord, even as of today, Father, he would be restored in his soul and his spirit with a joy and knowing that you are his God, you are his Father, and you have his life in the palm of your hands. David, believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. And I know you've been going through a lot, in and out of hospital like a revolving door. And whatever's causing this confusion and this inability to resolve this problem, I cast it away right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that a pathway would be formed, that you would get the help you need and your problems will be resolved. Like we've said before, doesn't matter how, when, where, but God has it under control. God has a plan for your life and he will bring it to pass. You just need to be obedient and believe that he has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you, Anne. You're no less than anybody else. But hold your head high. Do what you need to do. Align yourself with him, and he will do the rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ruth, what do we... Father, you know. You know what's going on in Ruth's body. That's causing various problems, hair loss and so on and so forth, Lord. A hormonal imbalance, Father. I pray once again that you touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet and bring everything into submission. Everything in submission to your will and bring it into order. Bring it into balance. Father, you can do it, Lord. We not only know that you can do it, but we know that you want to do it. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, you just direct her path, Father, and give her wisdom to know exactly what to do, where to go, who to speak to, or whatever. Or even if it's just stand on your word and expect her miracle. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Joe.
Your knee. Surgery. I just pain in it.
You're going for surgery?
No, I had it already.
Oh.
Okay.
Father, you're the ultimate healer. All these operations, all these knee, hip replacements, Lord, you're the ones who gave the doctors the wisdom to know how to design these, how to come up with them, Lord. There's nothing impossible with you. You're the one who really deserves the glory, not the doctors who do it, Lord. We thank you for their hands and their skilled hands and their willingness to do it, Lord, but you're the ultimate healer, Father. So I pray that, Lord, you touch this knee. You touch this knee and bring it back into alignment, Father, that the pain would be gone and whatever needs to be done will be done, that he will no longer suffer or be hindered by it. We trust you for it and believe you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glenn. It's got to go. Neuropathy. You know, we come up with these fancy names. They don't impress God. Nothing is difficult. He doesn't say, oh, wow, this is a tough one. Nothing is tough. Nothing is difficult. Nothing is impossible for him. Everything is actually easy. So, Father, I pray that you reach down your hand and touch Glenn. Touch Glenn, this neuropathy. Lord, that these nerves, bring them back into alignment. Those that are dead or are hindered, Lord, rekindle them. You spoke to the dry bones and brought them back to life, Father. Speak to these nerves. Bring them back into alignment. Bring them back into a place of functioning the way they're supposed to function. We trust you for it, and we believe you for it, and we look forward to the testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maddie. Oh, okay. All right. Father, I'm going to even ask you to reach down your hand and touch her nose, Lord. Whatever's causing this problem, okay, that this bleeding, that this inability to stop it, Lord, this recurring annoyance and problem that's hindering her, Lord. Father, you take it under control. May it come into submission to you and your power and your will. So reach down your hand, Lord, and touch her right now. In Jesus' name, we declare it done. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, unexpectedly this week, I got a call from our brother Abner. He was actually supposed to be with us March of 2020 when everything broke loose and the world shut down and we had to cancel. And here it is 3 years later. Much has happened in his life, and I'll let him share that with you. But I know the Lord has been moving behind the scenes. And when he called me, I said, I'm free Sunday. I said, come on, what are you kidding me? Come on, we just love to see you, love to hear what God has placed upon your heart. So I'm not going to take up any more time. Abner, come on up, share what the Lord has placed on your heart. Good to have you back with us.
Good morning. Great to be back on the island. It's been a while. And what's happening in the world certainly changed, but God hasn't. So that's the good news. You got one amen for that? How many are joyful to be saved? Yeah. Do you know what I'd do if I wasn't saved? I'd get saved, right? There's like this lie that it's really hard to follow God. No, it's really hard to walk in this world without God. Real life, and the early church fathers, some of them articulated, they said that Jesus was the first human being to ever really live life correctly. That's how they viewed his life. And so there's that lie, you know, of serve God, you know, you don't have this whatever fun is. But really, your greatest freedom is in continual surrender. And actually, you were created to continually surrender and to live forever for that. But I think my dad stepped out. My dad brought me this morning. That's my little brother up there. So it's a joy to have him. I said, I have to go to Long Island on Sunday morning, and then I need you to bring me to the Bronx. Can you do that? He said, yes. So it's a good dad. And so he's here. And then on August the 6th of last year, God does miracles. And I got, there's my dad. He's coming in with my brother. So he's here with me. I grew up in Fairlawn, New Jersey, and Bergen County, and I live, if you're not aware, I live in North Carolina now. I live where God lives. You should come and visit us sometime. But a great miracle happened August the 6th. I got married, and normally we have some pictures and stuff, but just last minute we weren't able to send it. But we are also with child, so really excited. We welcome our first child. The latest will be July the 8th, Hadassah Joy, and we're just so excited about that miracle. I never knew the heartbeat was that loud. So it's quite a miracle. We go back to the doctor on Tuesday. Also, during when most of the country was shut down, I think about a week in, we sensed as a ministry that we just wanted to gather people to pray. And so we began to pray every afternoon. We actually kept praying for about 3 months, 6 days a week. And as a ministry, God was moving really powerfully through these times of prayer on a phone line. I was really amazed of how powerful God would move through a phone line. And then I asked the Lord about it, and he actually said to me, there is no distance in the spirit. It's a great Oral Roberts line that he gave Brother Roberts many years ago, but we felt like we had an ongoing assignment. So now it's been over 3 years, and we moved to every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. We pray, and you can call in, and you can find all the information available for that on abnerandleanne.com. There's just a call-in number. You call from anywhere you are, and just trust in God for some more. We have some, but we need some more intercessors from New York. And it's become a wonderful community of people that pray, that we share testimonies. We receive communion every Thursday night. And God has given us a wonderful team of leaders to help lead that. And the Lord gave us the name Daniel, and we call it Daniel Company because, like Daniel, every one of us is to be people of no compromise. Amen? I appreciate, and it's encouraging, right, if we've missed a turn or something, sometimes we look at biblical characters and God gives us understanding that they made certain mistakes. But Daniel, and the book of Daniel is obviously not a whole biography of his life, but Daniel, you find no compromise in his life. In fact, he is influencing a very evil place to the extent that the other guys who are in similar positions of him say the only way we're ever going to stop this guy is if we get the king to make a law against his God, because we know he won't ever violate his God. I look at that and I think, will people look at my life and say that? The only way we'll stop him is we make a law against his God. And one of the other things I've learned is, too, most decisions that you'll make about integrity, they're made long before you get into that moment, because you've decided what you believe. You decided where you're going to stand. And Daniel was also a man of prayer. Daniel was also saw the future. And Daniel also influenced culture. So that's Daniel Company, and I encourage you to join us. You don't have to join us every night. Some people join us on Thursdays and stuff, but encourage you to do that. But I believe the Lord has sent me here for a very specific reason here this morning. And I'm going to give you 100%, but the positioning of your heart's also going to determine what you receive. And according to, I know we've already prayed for some people today, but according to Mark 16:20, it says that the disciples preached the word and miracles followed the preaching of the word. And I fully intend to preach the word that God's given me today, and so we can expect miracles. Will you join me in believing God for that? And so why don't we just pray? If you would, just as a sign of surrender to the Lord, if you would just lift your hands to the Lord, just as a physical sign. Lord, we thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you that we're alive in the earth during this time. We have the privilege of being alive during this time. And Lord, we thank you that there is a very specific purpose for which you've gathered us here together this Sunday morning, May the 7th, 2023. I declare in the name of Jesus that there is an open heaven in this room. I declare that miracles happen in every way, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you mark people with purpose. You mark the preaching of your word with revelation, God, because you said without it we perish. And so teach us your ways. You said in the last days there'll be a famine, not for the word of the Lord, but for the hearing. So I pray, God, that there would be a hearing ear. And I ask again, for words from heaven that change the earth. We ask for concepts and ideas that would communicate what you want to say to your people. I just see like two people's lower backs being healed. And one person, for years, you've had difficulty sleeping. And I believe the Lord is delivering you this morning. Be healed, and may you rest, according to the book of Psalms, where he says he gives his beloved rest. Shoko yabakia moho shaka bahaya. Mekia moho shaka moho aya bikia mahashika boho shaya. I atira moho shakaya ira moho shaka moho shakaya ira bokoya. Ira moho shaka maya ti ayanda bokoya tika moho shaya. Indara boho shi aya boho shaya. Ira maha shi ya boho shaya. Yeti ara moho shaya ikana maya kaya bakaya. The Lord says, many years ago when I formed this body of people, I formed it through people who had heard my voice. I formed it through people who had a vision of a spirit-filled community that would empower people with the fullness of God. And so the Lord says, I remind you of how you started. And I remind you of the strengths that were here when you started. I remind you, even says the Lord, of the sacrifices those made so that you could be in this community today. And so the Lord said, the strength of what I did was people who obeyed, people who sacrificed, people who prayed, people who believed in the outpouring of the Spirit in this day. And so the Lord says, you were built on a healthy foundation. But the Lord says, I remind you, there is a vision and there is a purpose for this gathered community. You are to be a taking people. You are a people who are to advance. You are a people who are not to look to the world and the signs of the times and say there's no hope, but you're supposed to be a people of hope. You're supposed to be a generational house of hope. You're supposed to be a people who pass a baton to the next generation in the purposes of God. And so the Lord says, if you'll say yes, I'll open the heavens in your gathered community. I'll open the heavens to bring in the lost. I'll open the heavens to do miracles. I'll open the heavens to give you a harvest in this season. So the Lord says, do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not grow weary in well-doing, but stay the course, for there is a corporate purpose for gathering. It's not just a gathering on a Sunday. It's not just a reason to come together because you're the people of God, but there is an advancing purpose. There is a vision. There is a vision for a house of prayer. There's a vision for intercession, but there's a vision for the harvest. There's a vision for equipping and discipling. There's a vision to see people set free. There is a vision and a purpose for your gathering in the purposes of the Lord. And the Lord says, I've not left you without. I've heard the prayers that you've prayed. I've heard the prayers that you've prayed. And I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer speedily in the purposes of the Lord. I see the only way I can describe it is like this ancient angel with a book. And it's like, I believe the book represents the purposes of the Lord for this season. And the Lord says, great are the days for my people in the earth in this season. Great are the days of advancement. Great are the days of outpouring. And the Lord says to his people, even in this room today, I want you to be participants in what I'm doing. And I have a specific reason for which I've called you together on in this location to advance the kingdom of God, to see an increase of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to see days of outpouring like you've never seen before in your gather times. Shekima ayara bokoya tamahi arabokoya. Sekia mahashikara boho sakai ara moho sakai ayaboho sakai. Ere mo otara makaya ti ara moho shakabakaya. Sere me merenderebe ki ara makaya ti ara mokoya ayatarabakaya. The Lord says, I'm here to mark people's hearts today as never before. For forward momentum. where you felt stuck, I'll move you ahead. Where you felt weary, I'll bring a rain today. Where you felt overwhelmed, I'll unlock you and release to you peace. The Lord says, my hand is not too short for my people. My hand is not too short for my people. I was reminded two things this morning. I want to share those two things and we'll just see where the Lord takes us. That first week of when everything seemed to be shut down, I was supposed to go to Ohio and then to Europe. And, they canceled the Sunday meetings. And that actually, the Europe trip had already gotten canceled that week. And it was that Saturday morning. I don't remember the exact date of it. I have it written somewhere in my journal. But I just remember I went before the Lord because there was a different feel in the world. And one of the very specific things that the Lord said to me was that this does not change my purposes for the earth through God's people. And that encouraged me because I have always believed that the season that we live in the earth is the greatest time to be alive for God's people. And if you look at Scripture, they got one amen for that. If you look at Scripture, you can understand that the believer or those who are in Christ or those God's people were never to find their instructions from the world. We were never supposed to look at the world and figure out how to act. We were supposed to look to God to see how we were supposed to react. The Word of God as our foundation. The present voice of God of what we were to do. And in fact, Jesus tells us in John the 16th chapter that one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to tell us things to come. And he tells us things to come often to give us an expected outcome, but often to give us a word that takes us through difficulty and challenges. It's really interesting, right? Joseph, who would want a dream like that, right? You get this great dream, your brothers are going to rule over you. It's very clear, too, that there's going to be influence, there's going to be authority, there's going to be things, and it's very clear. If you notice there that the brothers didn't say, no, that's not the right interpretation. Everybody knew what that dream was in Genesis 37. And what's also interesting about that dream, though, is that God never told them about all the difficulty he was about to go through. He did tell them about the end of it. And so God's word to us always gives us confidence that, and you'll always have a challenge or a mountain, particularly if you're walking correctly with the Lord. You'll get amens for that, but it's true. The good news is that every difficulty that you're facing now is there is a promise that you have been promised to overcome. And I would hope that if you are walking correctly with the Lord, that I would hope that you are actually trusting God for things way beyond just going to heaven. If all you need, God, is to go to heaven, then you might be really either tracking with the devil here on earth or not utilizing your faith properly. But the Lord always gives us an expected outcome. And over the years, the Lord has really, I believe, promised his people not only that we would have an extended outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but that we would live in a habitation of the Holy Spirit. And even in key times, particularly in our own country, we've seen that in times of crisis, God has always come to his people in this nation. And I want to tell you that even along with what Pastor said, there are while there's many challenges even among God's people, there are many, many people who are fully engaged with the purposes of God, believing God, seeing God, and seeing great, great breakthrough during this time. And then I was reminded of this word. It was on August the 12th, 2021. It was just this very simple word. And the Lord said to me, we're in a defining moment in the earth. August the 12th, 2021. And I didn't even realize there was a dictionary definition. I don't know if you realize this. Many times when God speaks things to you, he just kind of throws it out there, and then he holds you responsible for inquiring of him of what it means. And understanding often what God speaks to us is not an intellectual pursuit. It can only come by revelation. It can only come through the door of intimacy. But I was surprised, but I looked up this word, and defining moment, it's defined this way. A point at which the essential nature of character of a person or group is revealed. And then the Lord said to me, I will define my people by that which I've made available in this season. And then he said this to me. Now, this is really good news. What I've made available is unlimited in potential and purpose. And then, I don't know why, I haven't actually got along these lines a while, but spring of 2020, actually on one of those prayer calls, we were praying, and it was a very powerful time of prayer, and this angel of the Lord came into my little home office while we were praying, and he's between the desk and my wall, and it was actually quite scary. I'd never discerned an angel like that, and he wasn't looking at me, he was looking through me. And the fear of the Lord came into my office, and he's just like looking right through me. And, you know, God is really loving and kind. He really is. But he's also really scary sometimes. You'd rather be scared now than we. He's a loving, kind father, but he's also a righteous judge. The good news is you don't have to be afraid if you're judging yourself here. But he's looking right through me, and I'm thinking, as this experience has happened, this is how it kind of goes. You just think in your mind. I said, what is he looking at? And the Lord really came right up in my heart. And he said, he's watching to see how you and the body of Christ respond in this season. And then I saw him leave the room, and I saw him go across America like a fire. And so we're living in this defining moment where the unlimited resources of the kingdom of God are available to his people. And in defining moments, it's not God that defines what people receive. It's people's response to God. Say that again. In defining moments, it's not God that defines what people receive. It's people's response to what God has made available in that moment. How do you know that? What's the will of God? The will of God is for everyone to be born again. Everyone in Long Island, everyone you come into contact with, that's the will of God. And what has he done? He's already made provision available for everyone. Jesus does not need to die on the cross again. But you don't receive what he's made available until you choose to surrender. You know, there's something more powerful than the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I don't know if you realize this. It's really true. What's more powerful than the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is our own choice. Choice is so powerful that God gives people the ability to say no, even though he's got great, great goodness, kindness, health for him in that area of your life, but he will let you choose what you desire. Deuteronomy 30, right? Jesus looks at his chosen people, and he says this, and you can feel the passion. He said, I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. By the way, I don't believe that God curses anyone. But disobedience is a mark of the world system. So when you're in constant disobedience, even if the world thinks you're doing good, you could be a millionaire, you're actually living in a cursed reality. It's quiet, though, but it's true. It's true. One moment you could be up high, next moment. Why? Because humanity is at the center of the world system. But when you trust God, you're always on a solid base. Even if you quote-unquote lose everything, you just start again by faith in God. Years ago, I was in the Philippines for the first time, and we were experiencing incredible miracles on that trip. And I remember we ended up supernaturally at this elementary school one morning. And I didn't realize it, but the principal looked at me and goes, we'd like you to do an assembly for the children. So all these little children, I'm not really used to ministering to children in a way like that. So I acted out the story of David and Goliath. I did. And then we began to pray for people. Yeah, it's true. One man play, very quickly. And I was praying for this particular leader after we kind of presented the gospel, this teacher. And she had a goiter right here. And it was going down a little bit. And I looked at the young man who was traveling with me. I said, that thing's going down, right? He said, yeah. And I knew God, you know, God wanted to finish it off that morning. But it just seemed like there was something holding it up. And I said, Lord, what's going on here? He said, oh, she needs to forgive so-and-so. I don't remember who exactly it was. And so I said, is there someone you need to forgive? And she said, yes. I said, would you like to forgive him? No. It was a violent no. I asked her two or three times. I said, well, I'll just pray that you have the courage to forgive. Not being mean or cruel, but the Lord had already given me the key of what was going to break her through. So she chose. Now, here's the beautiful thing about God. Everything that he requires of us, he empowers us to do. God does not expect you to do things in your own strength. But your power of agreement is what unlocks that power to do things. In fact, if you're a believer, you should be constantly doing things that you've never done before. Thank you for the one amen from the back gallery over there. But really, you read the Gospels, walking with Jesus, they're constantly being challenged in their thought process to do things they've never done before. And that's what it's like to walk with the Lord. And it's a beautiful adventure. That's why you need faith. When do you need faith? When God speaks to you. Because most of the things he tells you, you were never created to do in your own strength. If your life, you can kind of sort of figure it out, you know, like I'm going to finish up, you know, I'm going to finish this job, retire in a few years and, you know, go to Florida, I'll be part of a church, help out in the men's ministry. That's American. If you're walking with God properly, there must be things and things on your heart or things that God has called you to do that are absolutely impossible unless God comes through. He said it today. He said, it's not your job to make it happen. It's your job to believe. But often in that believing, he asks you to take impossible steps. So we're in this defining moment. And there's this defining moment in Scripture that kind of communicates some of these principles we find here. And it's in Numbers, the 16th chapter. If you want to follow along this morning. Numbers 16, Number 16. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong place. Number 13. God has told the nation of Israel that he has a promise for them and a promised land for them. They've come out of Egypt, obviously, and his promise in that season is that they would go forward into this land. And it wasn't the next day or wasn't 10 years from then. It was in that season. And God has a promise for his people in this season. The Lord says, I want my people to be anchored in promise in this season. I want my people to remember the things that I've even spoken in former years. I want you to live from promise. I want you to live with hopeful expectation. For the Lord says, this is a season to overcome and to break through and to see what you've never seen before. This is a promised generation, says the Lord. Do not believe what you're hearing through the media. Do not believe what you're hearing even through certain voices. Though the challenges will come, the Lord says, there is a promise that will break my people through and break even this island through and my body through. In this region, into things that they have not seen before, into uncharted territory, into the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the water covers the sea. So the Lord says, hear the word of the Lord even this afternoon. Hear and see what I desire to do. And as you believe, you will receive in this season. So what did he do? He told them to explore the land. And I want to suggest to you, too, he tells Moses, tell people from the 12 different tribes to go and explore the land. And I want to suggest to you that when God gave this suggestion to Moses, he knew the challenges that they would see with their eyes. He knew that in exploring the land, they would see that it would be difficult. And he fully knows that they would see difficulty. No problem. Do what? Okay. I just didn't know if you needed something. He knew that they would see difficulty, yet he sends them in to look, but he also sends them in with the word that it's now time to go in and take this land. And it, just for the sake of time, Numbers 13, verse 25. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron, the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore. It is indeed bountiful, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of its fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants. Read out the New Living Translation, by the way. We saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites, and some Budlites in there. But that's not in there. Just trying to see if you're awake. Live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean, along the Jordan Valley. Now, I want you to see something here. Or actually just communicate something here. What they are saying is not untrue. It's actually, in a sense, factually true, everything that they're saying. These people are big. This is where they're stationed. So all the things that they're saying, these are not CNN or Fox News reporters or MSNBC reporters or New York Times reporters. No jokes from that one there. But they're actually telling the truth. They're actually communicating correct information to Moses. So what they're saying there is not untrue. And so when we position ourselves as people of God, not only personally but corporately, it doesn't mean we have to deny reality. We just deny its ability to overcome the will of God in our lives. Sometimes I pray for people and I go, what's going on? And they're like, I don't want to say. I'm like, well, it would be helpful to me if I knew actually how to pray into this situation, you know? So what they're saying is not untrue. But what they did with what they saw was the detriment. They didn't see their situation in light of what God said and what God had already done for them. Some of you need to remind yourself of the things that God has done in your life. One of the ways that David overcame, what did he do? He called upon his testimony. Now, you might not have a testimony of the situation you're facing or the corporate situation you're facing. But then you have a word from God that can apply to your situation. Well, again, you know, sometimes when you pray for people, I'll ask them, what's the problem? Well, I got to, you know, have financial problems. So one of the first questions I ask them is, what scripture are you standing on? And they just look at you. I know, I need prayer. I said, I know you need prayer. What scripture are you standing on? I got a son on drugs. What scripture are you standing on? That book is not just given as a history book. It's not just, it's given with a promise of provision for every situation that you're in. So one of the responsibilities that God will often give you is becoming responsibility for your breakthrough. We got a son on drugs. What scripture are you standing on? No, we need you to pray for us. What scripture are you standing on? What has God said about that? Because I can pray, I can even give you prophetic insight. But when you leave here, what scripture are you putting before you? I loved hearing this story years ago. It so marked me. And it was when Brother Copeland worked for Oral Roberts many years ago when he was a student at ORU. He said, I had never seen anyone use the word of God like a mechanic and apply the faith of God through that word through every situation. It's true. It's biblical. Hebrews 11 tells us what faith does. Subdued kingdoms, overcame, shut the mouths of lions. What's he telling you there in Hebrews 11? Faith is very practical. I thank God if all I had was faith to go to heaven and get my sins forgiven. But I'm even more thankful that my faith in God can bring me a whole lot more than that. John wrote the apostolic teaching. John wrote, he said, who is he that overcomes the world? Then it says, if you're in Christ, he said basically, your faith in God will overcome the world. So they had a pivotal moment here. They could simply look at what they saw that was, again, it wasn't untrue. But God had already given a word. So here's some principles here. These men went in, saw it, and reported it to the rest of the community. So a good key for living right now is what voice or voices have your predominant attention? And who are you closely connected to that believes like you? Because these people, these scouts are supposed to be leading people. And in their we can't do it, a whole generation of people listened. And because they listened, they missed out on what God had for them in this season. You don't ever want to miss out on what God has for you in any season. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as he stood before Moses. Now notice, Caleb is a scout. He went to the same place they did. He saw the same thing they saw, yet he reacted differently. Will you react differently? I love Matthew 7 because, right, when Jesus is teaching the sermon, one of his greatest moments, gives this metaphor, right, of the way two different people built their life. Notice that he makes the people responsible for building their life correctly. God gives the tools, but you must take responsibility for yourself. And he says, one heard what God was saying and didn't do what he told them to say. Another heard and did. And now notice, though, both people had access to hear the same thing. The culture of Scripture is always hear and to do. Westerners, sometimes we don't really like get that one too much. Because we think if we've heard something, we know about it. Hebraically, to hear was to do. They would never, a Hebrew would never think of, throw over my water. Hebrew would never think of hearing something from God and not doing it. But Caleb quieted the people and they stood before Moses. Let us go up at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other man who explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we. So they spread this bad report. Notice they spread. They spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who gives to live there. And all the people we saw were huge. We saw giants there, descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. That's what they thought too. Now notice also their belief about themselves and about what God would do in that moment defined who they were in that moment. How are we? It's too big. It's too big. We can't do it. God can't do it, and we're small in their sight. Chapter 14, just for the sake of time. Look at verse 20. I encourage you to read these two chapters. It's really fascinating to me. They complain. God gets a little upset. Moses steps in. He's like, I'll just kill him. And then he says, no, don't kill him. You can't do that. It would ruin your name. But anyway, verse 20. The Bible is very interesting. If you're bored reading the Bible, you're probably not reading it. And then the Lord said, I will pardon them as you requested, but as surely as I live, and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will enter the land. They have seen my glorious presence, the miraculous signs I perform both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never see the land I swore to give to their ancestors. Notice he's reminding them, this was actually my will to bring you in. This was actually my desire to bring you in. And notice also what he held them responsible for. He held them responsible for what they had seen God do already. God holds you responsible for everything he's done in your life so that you would remember his faithfulness to you. To whom much is given, much is required. And I can say this, and this is not hyperbole, this is not exaggeration. I would probably die within a few days of making a willful intention to turn my back on the Lord. I've seen too much. I've experienced too much. I know the hand of the Lord. If I choose to walk the other way, it would not be a very good thing for my life. None of them who have treated me with contempt will see it. Notice that God views unbelief as contempt towards him. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others. He's remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. Now turn around and don't go on toward the land where the Amalekites and Canaanites live. Tomorrow you must set out for the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. Now, I encourage you to read the first five books of Joshua this week. I think our talks about God should lead to more exploration. But what's very interesting about all this, the majority of these people are going, can't do it, even though God said we could do it, even though we've seen what God would do. It, which also really shows, think about it, the poorest people in the world, literally the poorest people, no economic system, completely ravaged, they leave Egypt, obviously a type and shadow of salvation, they leave Egypt, they leave with the silver, they leave with the gold, they leave seeing God's miraculous provision, he miraculously takes them out, and this is what these people have seen, this is what these people have experienced. And it teaches us that we can see things, we can see examples of God's goodness, we can see examples of God's miraculous power, but unless our thinking changes, we are still living as slaves even though we have great inheritance. Remember years ago being in Brazil, maybe one of the first few times, and the Brazilian government, shockingly, a government program didn't work, but you know, you probably find that hard to believe. But they had built these very nice buildings for the very poor to live in. And they have, in different cities, they have what they call favelas, literally like sometimes, I don't even know what to call it, but bad conditions, really just metal sometimes, roofs and stuff. It's very interesting. They have cable TV and satellite down there. I don't know how they do that, but they figure it out. But they literally live in these hut type of things, large amounts of poor people, whole thousands of them. So they thought, let's put them in these, we'll just tell them, there's no cost, we're just, hey, here's where you can live now. And that's what they did. And I believe a leader there told me, within 2 years, all of the people were back in the favelas because they couldn't get comfortable in these beautiful apartment buildings compared to where they were living. They were just used to living that way. It's a great articulation of if your thinking doesn't change. So they were never able to shift their thinking according even to what God did. And so Caleb says, yes, we can go in. But back on to the book of Joshua. In Joshua, you'll read when they finally go into the place that God had intended them to go in 40 years before that. When, again, the scouts go out to scout the land. And you'll notice that just because they had to wait 40 years, it didn't make it any easier. Now there's a shut-up Jericho. The walls are shut in. No one's getting in and no one's getting out. It still looks impossible how they're going to get in. You still will have to utilize faith. And they visit this prostitute Rahab. And she says to these scouts this time, what does she say? She says, so we heard about your God. We heard about what he did to the nation of Egypt. And we were just waiting, and we were wondering where you were. Basically what she's saying, we were already defeated. All you had to do was trust God in that moment. Sometimes it can be, oh, I can God do that. This is really hard. It's just challenging. And in your trust in God, he's already made provision. Now the good news is too, here though, there's always good news in these stories. God did not throw even those people who perished in the desert away. But he did have to relate to them. He took what they understood about him. What does he say? He actually just, okay, so since you can't see how I could bring you into the promised land, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to walk for 40 years in a desert. And I'm not going to give you abundant provision. I'm just going to give you day by day provision because that's what you can understand of me. I'm not going to discard you. You're still my chosen people, but you are going to live in a place that I never intended for you. So God will relate to us in a place that he never intended, but he never leaves us. But his desire is for us to grow into maturity. I think, well, let me just say this. I don't know if you realize this, but every one of us was created for transformation. Even in perfection, Adam was created to be continually transformed into a greater representative of God on the earth. And so one of the things I believe that God would emphasize to us now, it's afternoon, I'm almost done, but is, are we a people that are growing? Are we a people that are seeing perspective from God's reality in this season? Are we a people who are continually learning? Because if there's not a constant growth, we run the risk of missing everything that God wants to do in our moment and in our generation. We don't read these stories, at least I don't, just go, oh, what dumb people. Just like, what can we learn from their mistake of missing what God was doing? Go back to one of the original points. In defining moments, it's not God who decides what people receive. It's people who decide if they're going to receive what God desired to do in that moment. Did you receive this word? If you receive this word, just give God a clap offering this morning. If you would just lift your hands to heaven, just a sign of receiving the word. Pastor Gene, the Lord says that he has been very pleased with the work of your hand. And you've been one who's been quick to obey as much as you knew. But the Lord says even today there's an unlocking for you. And I believe that you're going to begin to hear the voice of the Lord, and revelation knowledge is going to be given to you, because the Lord says there's much that he has for you to accomplish in this season. And the Lord says, I'm going to renew your strength in this season for you to walk, and to walk in a place of acceleration as never before. And the Lord says, you've been one who has been diligent to seek me first and to put my kingdom first. And the Lord says, my promise to you, because you have put my kingdom first, because you've tried to obey my voice, I'm going to answer some prayers, even as it relates to personal things and family things, that will amaze you, and it will be a sign of my goodness and my kindness towards your family and towards your generation. And so the Lord says, in this generation, you'll be in this season, says the Lord, you'll begin to make choices that impact and influence the next generation. Even as David prepared a place for Solomon to build a temple, even as David put provision in, gave instructions that would not be completely fulfilled till after he left the earth, the Lord says, I'm mandating you, like David in this season, to leave a legacy for the next generation. And the Lord says, you have done well to lead this group of people. You've done well in doing what I've asked you to do. But yet the Lord says, there is more for you and there is more for this people. The Lord says, I've not just desired this group of people to just make it, but I want to make you an advancing and overcoming people as never before. I don't know what this is. There's a river of just healing and strengthening of your heart today. Can you just stretch your hands towards him? And there's this angel, Lord, just putting fresh oil to you. I don't know what this is as well. I know that there was a shift when you said yes to the call to lead this people. And I just feel like there was a seed put in the ground financially. And the Lord says, I'm going to show you towards the end of your life that there'll be a great harvest on that seed that you put in the ground. An abundant provision is your portion for you and your family. If you receive this word, why don't you just stand across this auditorium this morning, this afternoon, if you receive this word. There's an unlocking and there's a strengthening today. There's an unlocking and there's a strengthening today. There's an unlocking and there's a strengthening today. And there's a release of fresh oil here today. And if you just say yes to that. But I also want you to take an additional step. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you today. As directed by the Holy Spirit, just invite you, 1, 2, 3, if you want to receive that, just come out of your seat, just come forward here this morning. Thank you, Lord. Just come close. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you would just lift your hands, I just want to lead you in this prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, I receive your word today. Give me the courage to obey. In this moment, Lord, I ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it looks like. Now you don't need to repeat this. I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to just move quickly and just lay hands on each of you today. And just believe that through the laying on of hands, you'll receive everything you need. I'm going to believe that it's going to be like Jesus himself laying hands on you. Miracles are going to happen. Shift is going to happen. Deliverance for some of you is going to happen. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for your people. Thank you for what you desire to do here today. And according to your leadership, as I lay hands on your people, it'll be a point of contact. You said how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good. I declare that as a point of contact through the laying on of hands, there would be good done to your people today. That you would mark people today. There would be a divine marking for the purposes of God. There'd be a divine marking to be the Calebs for their generation. There'd be a divine marking to have vision as never before. They would be these people, God. These people would be the people that said, we're well able to go up and possess the land. So increase your presence, Holy Spirit. Do as you wish. And just release an unlocking today for your people. Just keep your focus on the Lord. I'm going to move quickly and just pray for people. Focus on the Lord. Some of you, encourage you. Just stay engaged with the Lord. He'll speak to you. Just a point of contact. Some of you, there's an angel of the Lord. He's just lifting off weights and burdens. Some of you came in here completely overwhelmed. I don't know what this is to somebody's kidneys. The Lord is healing somebody's kidneys. You should be healed. I'm telling you, the Lord is healing somebody's kidneys. Somebody's headaches are being healed. Just be healed. Just release and unlock it. 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 Two people, the Lord's healing your lower back. Just receive healing in your lower back. Lord, and unlock it. Unlock it. Unlock it. In the name of Jesus, be unlocked. Be unlocked. Be unlocked. Clarity in your mind. Wisdom is your portion, woman of God. Wisdom is your portion. Unlock it of her ears. Unlock it of her ears.
That receive it, just receive it. That's all. Don't be puzzled. Don't be confused. Just receive that God has done something special in your life. He's unlocking something in your life, and just receive it and believe it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can I?